Pleased to be joined by the wild card game and World Series hero, the fourth overall pick in the 2010 draft by your Kansas City Royals. 6 years in the big leagues, four in royal blue. Christian Colon, now the assistant hitting coach with the AA affiliate Northwest Arkansas, is my guest. Well, let's start at the beginning. Drafted fourth overall 2010 out of the powerhouse Cal State Fullerton, a place where the expectation year in and year out is to win, and when that's the expectation, you got to be a team-first player. How would you describe that transition, going from a championship-focused program, being a team-first guy, to now it's your profession, and you're getting paid, yes, to win, but you're also getting paid to produce, and maybe not be selfish, but put up numbers along with putting up W's?
That's kind of where I got lost a little bit, just because I had that mentality, but then I became, you know, a first rounder, and then I go into this amazing organization, and it was in the minor leagues, they were preaching winning, so I was right in my element. I mean, they gave me every opportunity to be successful, and I felt comfortable through the minor leagues, and of course, in the big leagues, it's all about winning. So, from that standpoint, I always felt like this was the perfect organization for me. But I got caught up myself personally, thinking, "Well, I got to do what that guy's doing." You know, he was in the same draft year as me. I got to do what this guy is doing and start comparing myself. And you know, I always knew, not always, but I felt like when I started thinking about myself, I was not good. Nothing clicked for me. When I was with that mentality of, all right, I'll do anything to win games, everything was smooth, everything worked. I brought a lot of value in that, but it was almost like I was fighting it all the time. You know, I'm like, yeah, well, you know, I don't want to sacrifice too much on this, you know, but how could you not, you know, when you have such a good group of guys coming together? And you know, I'm thankful that I had a spot in that spot. You know, everybody wants to be the star and the main guy, but just to be able to be part of it, it taught me a lot. And so I'm encouraging guys to get in where you can fit in. It does not mean that you aren't valuable. Actually, some of those guys are more valuable. Dyson was a big part of our team. He was a leader, and he was a guy that really was a role player. So I learned a lot from him. So, but when you get drafted that high and you have your own expectations, sometimes if you don't have good people around you reminding you, hey, hang on, this is about the Kansas City Royals. This is not about you. That's what it's about, staying in that mindset. But at the same time, handling your business. I think one of the greatest things that I heard, and I heard it yesterday, is like, you can't give someone something great if you don't have it. So if you're not like locked in with you, what you got to do and be right, then you can't give that out. So it made a lot of sense. It doesn't make you a selfish person. It's just how you look at it.
It's one of the many great things about this game, and I think you are the perfect example of it. You want to make it about yourself, but even though you want to be the star, when you put the team first, you end up being the star, like you were in the 12th inning of the wild card game, the 12th inning of the World Series. For as much as you want to make it about yourself, make it about the team, and you'll find yourself in that spotlight.
That's exactly what I try to tell these guys, like, because there's a balance. You know, if you're a top guy, and let's say you have such a high ceiling, you don't want to be on the other end of that. You don't want to be too humble either. You know, you don't want to come across as like, all right, I'll do anything. You got to have boundaries too. So, but it's that fine line where You know, and those the great ones have it. You know, like Hosmer, like, you know, Moose, all those guys, Lil Kane, and we had a lot of those guys that they were so good that they knew I'm a guy. Alex Gordon, I'm a guy. But I care so much more about the team and people around me that's what this organization is about. And you know, I look at just how the leaders here and in this organization, how they move and how they act and interact. I mean, from the ownership, Dayton, all the way down, it's like, we know, you know, we Dayton's a pretty special person. JJ, Scott, you know, but they're so selfless. Like, they don't, it's about everybody else. So I think that's, it just gives power to the whole organization and trust to say, you know what, we got to pull one direction. If that guy's doing it, you know, and I joke around all the time about Dayton. He's always looking for ways to humble himself, and that's pretty special.
So when you talk about Moose and Haas and you knew that they and they knew that they were the guy, I wonder, when you're standing in that batter's box against Addison Reed, 12th inning, Game 5 of the World Series, in your mind, are you that guy?
That's the mentality, yeah. That's especially for – I learned that from Dice. You know, Dyson being in – you know, he always believed in himself, no matter how long he was on that bench, you know. So for me, coming from like a program where I played every day and I was the guy, I get drafted and pretty much the guy until you run into, you know, hey, this is the role you're going to have. That was challenging for me. You know, I was trying to act like, you know, oh, I'm fine. But it was something that I had to really check. And learning from Dyson in that aspect was great, to just be able to sit in the dugout and know, hey, anything can happen and I can be a big part of this win tonight. I'm here. You know, I'm here. I'm part of this group. I just have a different role. Drew Butera was another guy who was great at it. Eric Kratz. You know, I had good people around me that really knew and understood their role, but some of those guys weren't the fourth pick overall. So, you know, I had to really find that mentality, and it was tough. It was tough for me, as you know, so.
Yeah, when you have that fourth overall pick thing hanging above your head and all the expectations that come with it, was that talk, that noise, was it louder inside your own head or the noise coming from the outside?
That's a good question. I would say I was oblivious to it, to be honest with you, at the beginning. I just wanted to play baseball, go out there and do it. But I think it went both ways. And then it started with the outside noise a little bit. And then I just didn't know how to stop it. Mainly in my head. Then I became aware, and I'm a very aware person. I can read people. So I became aware of that pink elephant in the room, and I was just kind of like, well, you know, I need to find a way to get some space from the game and just relax and off season, try to get a grip on, you know, get back to who you are, what you do. And, you know, the off seasons, believe it or not, they come in quick. You know, the season comes in quick. The off seasons are fast, especially when I got called up, you know, 14. And then it's like 14, game 7, back at it, World Series game 5, you know, 16. We're still running, you know, going out there and trying to make something happen. So, I mean, it was – and then 17, I was DFA'd. So it was kind of – quick, so I wanted to slow it down, but I would say it was my own head. After a while, it was just like, I have to do this, I have to do that, I gotta be better, I gotta, and I needed to understand and identify who I was for the team and who I was, and I would have enjoyed it a lot more, and I would have been probably, that's when I thrive, that's when I was playing well, and I was fearless. I would go out there. I could be sitting down for 10 games, and I know I believed in myself enough to go out there and put good at-bats together. But, you know, that whole thing, stuff that I couldn't control, you know. So that's – I see it now. You know, that's always how it happens. But So the main thing, that's why mainly I wanted to get into this, is because as much as we can coach it, one of these guys, you know, hey, give them a few tips on skills, and this is what's going to separate you is up here. It's your head. Just how you feel, how you see things, perspective. You know, I remember going through all this stuff in the big leagues and wanting to prove myself. And I remember guys that really care about me in this organization, front office and everything. Hey, you're in the major leagues, man. No matter what, you're in the big leagues. You have to look at things from you providing for your family. You're, you know, and when you have a different mentality, which drove me, right? It drove me to do work hard and achieve things and, you know, be ready at any moment because I wanted to produce. But it also, I never knew how to turn it off.
You mean couldn't shut off thinking about the game, the expectations, you'd bring that home?
Yeah, I'm a human being. I'm a person when I'm away from the diamond, and that's what I'm preaching to these guys. Hey, there's no way you wake up at 9 in the morning and the game's at 7 and you're thinking about what you got to do, this, and that. I mean, like, you live life and there's time for everything. You know, when we dive in into the report for that pitcher tonight, and when you dive in, you're present. You know, I just learned now how to be more present in what I'm doing, and I wish I would have slowed down, okay, and taken that. I always talk about 0 to 100. Everybody wants to do that. Everybody wants to do that. But you don't even know what 45 felt like. You don't even know what 60 felt like, even if it was bad. Now I want to feel that. I want to feel what I want to sit in it. Power of the pause, you know. So it's, I guess it just comes with time where you're born with it, you know, just take things one step at a time.
So what was the moment for you coming up through the minor leagues or in that 2014 season? When was it when you knew that this wasn't just a talented core, this was a championship core?
I think it hit me when I looked around and I saw, well, that spot's locked in. That spot's locked in. Well, that's locked in. I said, wow, got it all. I mean, we got it all. In the minor leagues, you know, spent first year in Double-A, second year started in Double-A, went to Triple-A, and I think, like, just winning in the minor leagues without the guys that were there before, like, because I was, like, always a little behind Haas and Moose, but the fact that we continued to win, I was like, okay, these dudes left, they left a legacy here. Like, they left a standard of how to do things. So when we go up and, you know, I get there in 14, it's like, all right, these guys have been here now for 2 years, and I know they left standards in the minor leagues on how to do things, and I know here is the same thing. So it just hit me when we won the first championship in AAA, and they were all in the big leagues, but I was still there, and it just kind of gave me the blueprint, you know, so I could tell. I mean, and then it was just, like Ned said, Ned called it, man. Ned was like, hey, let these guys play out here, and you'll see that eventually it's going to turn. We don't know when, but it's going to, and I remember it, man. It's like we get in the wild card game, that's it. Like, you know, that was like the getting into that game, and then actually winning that game, and then, I mean, the rest is history. Like, it's very, very few times that in after 14 and 15 coming back for spring training, we thought, if we stay healthy, we got a really, really good chance of winning. And to actually carry it out, so hard. I mean, it's just the group of guys, you know, and they always, you know, you always hear the stories. You remember every guy in that locker room and down the road, and you'll see him, and you'll remember. And it's true. Like, it's crazy.
Which of those moments is most vivid for you? The RBI knock in the wild card game and then scoring on Salvi's Ribby, or is it driving in Dice game 5 Citi Field 2015.
They're both huge, man. Like, but I obviously remember, I don't remember the wild card as much, but I the World Series, I kind of was starting to evolve as a person a little bit and saying, you know, like, slow down, take it in, take it in. Even if it don't work out, take it in. I mean, yeah, I tell a story out here all the time. You know, they just want to know, like, well, how were you really feeling? You know, and I can finally say, like, I wanted to get out there so bad. You know, I wanted to just help in any way. And it just happened to work out the way it did. But when I stepped out there, I'm like, ooh, I'm nervous. Like, I should have just kept watching the game, you know? Like, this is no joke. And it gave me a new perspective on the respect for those guys going out there each and every night in front of cameras, making plays. That's big time. And that's why I wanted to get out there, is just I respected the group so much, you know, like how much we worked. And we were like, you know, all brothers, fought like brothers, loved each other like brothers. So it was something that I wanted to get, you know, get a chance to help. But I was nervous. I was nervous. I mean, I 0-2 right away. So, but I remember those feelings. And I remember telling myself, step out, breathe. Who cares if the camera's on you and it looks like you're stressed out or you're, you know, like breathing heavy, whatever. You know, this is, take a step back. You've done this all your life. You've been praying for this opportunity to get out there and help your team. So just put it in play. Dice will score. You know, what you don't think about is that the pitcher, too. The pitcher's nervous. After it's all said and done, and years later, it just kind of hits you like, man, like Addison Reed, like he's a great pitcher. I'm sure he was nervous. You know, you could just tell. You don't make mistakes on a slider like that, you know, many times. So
I was actually talking with Bobby Witt Jr., and I asked him, what about big league baseball are you most curious about? And he just went right to October and just wondered what that felt like. So when he asks you, what are you going to tell him? What does October baseball feel like?
Oh, yeah. It's something in the air. It's different. You wake up and it's different. It's like the best feeling in the world, even if you're not in the lineup. I mean, it's just everybody's together. The whole city's together. Everybody's watching. Everybody's fixing their day around that, you know, accommodating their day around game time. And so many, you know, cameras and people. And it's just joy, just pure joy. And there's nothing better than to compete with something on the line, you know. So he'll get to experience that. I really believe that. And what a great kid.
What impresses you about him?
Everything. I mean, I was talking to him the other day. We were, you know, eating out here, you know, just in the cafeteria, and you know, we're just talking, and he stopped eating to just like give me that attention. I'm like, dude, you don't have to do that. You can eat, man. Like, you know, he's a special person. He can relate to everybody, talks to everybody, you know, makes people feel comfortable. The talent as a player, you guys already know what he can do. So, but I believe he's a special, special person. And shout out to his parents and his family. I mean, he's an outstanding person, and he's going to have a lot of success, and hopefully, you know, he can, all these guys are following him, you know, and keeping him accountable, and they keep each other accountable. And that's kind of what we saw. It's cool to watch it on the outside now, you know, because it just takes you back. It takes you back to some of the interactions we had, and, you know, how guys followed each other, and almost like they knew and they respected each other. They knew. We knew each other like the back of our hands, you know, so.
Yeah, I'll tell you what, and you alluded to this earlier, and I'm just over here nodding along. I say it still. Man, I'll never forget showing up spring training prior to that 2015 season. It was just different. You guys wanted blood. You wanted someone in another dugout, in a different jersey. You wanted someone to pay for what went down in the previous October against the Giants. Anyone that was around that team heading into 2015 knew that you guys were going to be there in the end.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's just like that confidence. Everything in life is like confidence. When you're going good at the plate, you're confident. You know, when you're playing your games, you're confident. And it's just all about, we knew, like, all right, we got everything. And now we know how to win. We felt that pressure of the cameras and MLB Network and reporters and everything and what's in the air. We're good. I mean, that's why Giants, I mean, the 14, those guys have been through it. Posey and Bumgarner, you could tell. You could tell the difference. Crawford, how they carry themselves. No, even though every single pitch is huge, just it kind of felt like it was just a normal game for them, you know. And for us, we're like, all right, more uptight. We're still trying to make sure everything's cool, like, let's checking all the boxes. And so then your natural talent, sometimes your actions and your instincts don't play. And I always think about this when Gordo was coming around third and Brandon Crawford picks that ball short hop. Sometimes, you know, teams that aren't in that situation, you know, like a little tight, he might have missed it or something, but he just picked it like nothing. You know, so once you go through it once, you know, it's just like everything. You go through it once, you know, you go to college, you're a freshman, you don't know where you're going, you know, sophomore year's a little better. And so I think we had that with the talent and the work ethic.
One story I've never really asked about, it is Yordano Ventura in that 2014 wildcard game. I mentioned it earlier. Brought in out of the bullpen. I know up in the press box, everyone was firing Ned Yost after Brandon Moss hit that home run. I liked the move, bringing in a young right-hander with 100 miles per hour in that right arm. What was Yordano like in that dugout following that home run to Brandon Moss, when it all felt lost? We all learned over time what a sensitive, emotional, shy young man Yordano Ventura really was. How broken up was he in that dugout?
Yeah, he was. He was down. He was upset. But he stayed around. I remember he stayed around. We were trying to keep him, you know, engaged. You know, it wasn't his fault, and that's just how baseball goes sometimes, you know. But he was crushed. Yeah, he was down. I mean, he just wore his, you know, his feelings on his sleeves, his heart on his sleeves. So he was very, he felt like he let us down a lot of times, even when he started fights.
I learned a lot observing Yordano Ventura, just the dichotomy of the guy on the field and the guy that we saw off the field, the confidence on the field and the at times insecurity off the field. He was easy to root for.
He's like that little brother that just like got in trouble all the time but wanted to see everybody succeed so bad, but he got in trouble and then got everybody else in trouble. He was very fearless, but on the mound, that's what made him special. Outside, he was shy, and you know, he just standoffish. But
and understandably, there was no escaping the loss of Yordano at the beginning of 2017. I mean, the entire opening day was understandably so dedicated to him. I don't know how you guys in those first few months compartmentalized not having your brother there when there's reminders of him everywhere.
That was rough, dude. That was rough. Because we felt like anywhere we would go, it's like it was a reminder. He was reminded, you know, our people reminded us of him being at places that we shared with him, you know, and stories and stuff. And, you know, it's just, it felt like things were coming to an end, you know,
So it was sad. In that same year, you know, I get DFA'd, and I should have got like help, like, you know, just go talk to someone about it, and, you know, counseling or whatever. And because that was out of nowhere, you know, that was, and you're still trying to be a professional and perform. And so, I don't know, he meant a lot to us, you know, because we knew how innocent he was and how shy he was, and but this front he put up, you know, he was brave. And but so yeah, that was hard. I mean, we were thinking a lot about his situation and what happened, and trying to make sense of it even months and, you know, years after it, you know. So I just couldn't believe it. I couldn't believe it, you know, still.
No, we were all just waiting for something to come across social media saying, no, it's not true. Yeah. Yeah, and then you were on the Marlins later on in that 2017 season with Edinson Volquez on what would have been Yo's, 26th birthday, right? Volquez throws the no-hitter.
That was one of my, like, that's one of my favorite memories in baseball. Being there, Volky's throwing, and him and I knew, like, this is his day. And Volky was, I mean, it was amazing. It was like it was like Ventura was pitching with him, like, yeah. And yeah, that was special to be a part of that, and just hug Eddie, and him and I like share that moment here, and then we were there together, and it just felt cool to watch him do that. I mean, that's another guy, man. That's another guy wherever he's at, man. Got to thank him, because that guy was, he cared. He cared a lot. James Shields, they injected great things into their organization, you know. And
what was it that they injected?
Expectations, boundaries, respect, effort, consistency. Those guys, same guys, whether they give it up or not, whether they make $50 million or $10, same guys on a daily basis. And you see that when you're hanging out with them every day. You know, it's like, it don't matter. It really don't. And that's hard to do, you know, because in this industry, you know, you can lose sight of that. Like we talked about earlier, you know, you can get caught up in yourself and other things, or you got stuff going on at home, and you don't, you know, you get to the field and you're just a little different. I've never seen that from, they never were like that. CY, outstanding. Wade, same guy. I mean, it's just, I can go on and on and on.
Man. You know, just sitting here, boy, from your own career, first round draft pick and the grind, to the championships, to the passing of your Donald Ventura, man, I'm interested what you want to get out of coaching. I can see quite clearly what you're going to bring to these young men's lives, the stories and the advice. So what do you hope to get out of this when it's all said and done?
I just want to be consistent for the guys. Understand I care a lot about them as people. Understand that baseball is what they do, not who they are. And to be present and to enjoy it. I mean, everybody wants to be a major leaguer. But reality is it's very hard to do. And you also need the help of others, and you need things to fall in line, you know. And things are already written how they're supposed to go, you know. So if you can just work hard, you know, give it all you got and see what happens. I know. That mentality is going to help you with whatever else you're going to go do. Just because I don't think people realize how hard it is to be an athlete, you know, to be a professional athlete. So I think they just have to understand that if you don't make it, it's not a failure at all, man. It's not, you didn't fail. You're about to thrive in other things. And if you do make it, well, get ready for the ride, because anything can happen, you know, and there's so much opportunities and people that love this sport. I just want to let them know, man, like I want to be consistent for them. Just like I saw all these guys that I've been talking to you about, how they pour into me, even when they were hurting.
Two things. Are you at peace with your career, and how much of this endeavor as a coach has to do with you coming to terms with how things went down on and off the field throughout your career?
I think I'm finally, you know what, at peace with a lot of these topics, but I looked at counseling and things like that as like, when things get tough, then you go do that, and then you keep it all to yourself, you know. But I'm open about it, because, and even if I'm going good, I'm still doing it. It's just a good way for me to get my feelings out. It's okay, you know. I thought you can't let your feelings out, man. It makes you weak and all that, you know. You've heard all that, but it doesn't. It makes you actually stronger, and people know where you're at, and they can love on you, man. And they can. One thing I wish I would have done is people that put their name on the line for me, you know, hey, pick this kid, or stood up for me. I wish I would have, when I was down through the minor leagues, or, you know, when I had doubt, I wish I probably, if I voiced that, if I would have called them and said, hey, can you remind me again why you picked me, like what you saw in me? And I'm sure they would have loved it. They would have said, you know, hey, yeah, man, get back to doing this. You know, we saw this in you. We saw these qualities in you. You know, that's something that it can remind you. And I want these guys to feel comfortable enough to, they want to talk about that, and I can love on them. Absolutely. And there's times where we're going to be straightforward and honest. But as much as if I do get on them, as much as I do get on them, I'm going to love on them as well. So I'm, and this is all from, you know, time and heartaches and mistakes, especially too with my family, my wife, my kids. I put them through a lot. So it's just, you know, understanding that there's a lot more to all this thing.
Yeah, the game's bigger than the box score. And just what you're talking about, man, from my own life, my own experiences, my own family members, you know, learning, evolving when it comes to mental health. Especially a person like me in the media, we get so bogged down with what's happening between the white lines. But, you know, what you're saying, what can save a life, can save lives, even if the young man doesn't turn into the most successful big leaguer, the kind of advice you can impart, man, could really make an impact.
I love that, because that's what it's about. And to me, that's the approach I started taking about, you know, giving lessons to younger kids. You know, I started realizing that I do enjoy teaching, you know, and I learn a lot from teaching and just what was on my heart. And I think when I was giving lessons to these kids, I was like, you know, why do we focus so much on what you can do? You know, we already know that, you know, let's just praise what you do well. And let's just build off of that, you know. And sometimes we get lost. You don't know what you do well. You don't know what you bring to the table. You know, you think you know, but it's nice to hear other people tell you and be honest about that. And, you know, when you have a coach that can tell you, hey, no, that's not it. We're not going to be doing that or whatever. And they're honest with you even when, and you can be mad. You know, you're going to get upset. But then, you know, man, that you can trust that guy when he tells you, hey, that's it. Now you're doing it right. You know, that's what you bring to the table. You know, it's not just words. So that's mainly my focus every day here.
I could talk to you all day. CC, I appreciate the time. We'll do this again soon.
Well, I appreciate it.